Okay, everyone. Last week we thought about how can I be born again? That was our big question. How can we be born again? And we looked at that passage in John chapter 3 with Nicodemus going to Jesus at night. We thought that was significant because he was going in secret, but also because it kind of gave us a hint as to Nicodemus's spiritual state. He was looking for something, and yet he was in darkness. And so Jesus says to him, to basically shake him, you must be born again. And Nicodemus doesn't get it. How can I enter my mother's womb again? How can that happen? And of course, Jesus is talking about spiritual things. He must be born of again, born of above, and born of the Spirit. What a wee bit about last week is that regeneration starts before conversion. That's what we thought about last week. That God is the one who draws us to himself. That's a really key thing, isn't it? There's God that's at work. And therefore, we come to a place where we come to saving faith. So God is actually at work before we're converted. And that's quite a mind-blowing thing to think, actually, God is the one who does it. It's not about me. It's not about me making a decision necessarily. This is about God being at work and bringing me to a place where I can accept the Lord Jesus. And we looked at a couple of examples of that. Looked at Lydia. I suppose another example would be the prodigal son. What happens with the prodigal son? He goes away from his father. And remember, he spends all his money. He does all kinds of stuff. Ends up in the pen with the pigs. And there's a wee phrase that happens when he's there. He comes to his senses. Now, how do you think he comes to his senses? Do you think, you know, he suddenly, you know, he just thinks about that himself? Or do you think that's God at work? I very much believe it's God at work. It's God that brings him to his senses. It's God that makes him think, actually, I was far better at home with my father. And so he goes and he makes that journey. And the Father welcomes him with open arms. So we thought a wee bit last week about regeneration starting before conversion. And that's why in the passage, if you were here this morning, the passage that we looked at together in Acts chapter 13, there was a wee phrase there. I wonder if you noticed it. It said that those who God appointed came to faith. Did you notice that? God, those who God appointed. Really interesting phrase that, isn't it? It's God who does it. It's God who does the work. That's what we must realize. Now, tonight what we're going to think about is how, just before we think about this, I want to think about why this might be important. And really there's two reasons why this might be important. The first reason is doubt. We all experience doubt in our lives, don't we? We experience doubt in everyday life, don't we? Because sometimes, you know, perhaps at night you will go up the stairs to your bedroom or downstairs if you're in the manse, because we're in an upside-down house, it's complicated. And you'll begin to go to your bed and you suddenly think to yourself, did I lock the house door? And so you have to go all the way down the stairs, up the stairs, whatever way your house is, and you have to go and check. And you probably have, but you just the doubt came into your mind. And there's all kinds of doubts that happen in everyday life, don't they? Did I lock the car? Did I do this? Did I do that? And you have to constantly go back and check. I think it gets worse as you get older, but I'm not at that age yet. So, but we can also experience doubt in the Christian life, can't we? We can doubt that our prayers have been answered. Sometimes we pray about something. Maybe we pray about it for a long, long time. And then our prayer's answered, and then we think to ourselves, oh, you know, it could have just been a coincidence. You know, it might just have happened anyway, and, you know, it was nothing to do with prayer, and it was nothing to do with God. We can sometimes doubt that God is speaking to us. You know, we're going through a difficult situation, and, you know, our Bible reading that day just seems to speak exactly into the situation. And rather than holding to that promise and holding to God's word, what do? Ah, it's just a coincidence, you know, that's the Bible reading for today. Just a coincidence. Sometimes we doubt. Sometimes we doubt our spiritual experiences as well. Maybe you've had an experience where you know the closeness of God. You know the closeness of God. You know that you've had a particularly blessed time of prayer. Maybe things have been developing in your spiritual life. You know God's closeness. But the next day, you think to yourself, was that real? Was that just how I felt at the time? Was it just my feelings? Was it just something I ate that night that made me feel that way? We can doubt. And we can also at times doubt our salvation. There are times in our lives when we might think to ourselves, is God even there? Is God listening? I'm sure sometimes you've had that experience when you've been in prayer and you know that you should be, you know, declaring God's love and declaring God's power, and yet it just seems as though your prayers are just hitting the ceiling. And sometimes in your life you can doubt, is God there? Really? Is this just, you know, a fantasy that I'm living? Is that really what it's about? And sometimes that can be brought on by bad experiences or circumstances. Sometimes if we're having a really hard time, we can think, well, where is God? Where's God? Why is God not helping me? Where is he? Sometimes we can just experience, and it's nothing to do with our circumstance, but we experience sometimes what is known as the kind of dark night of the soul. If you want to put it in those terms, those times when the Christian faith doesn't seem real, where God doesn't seem real, and you just seem to doubt you're a Christian at all. Sometimes that can happen. Doubt comes into your life. So that's the first reason why this is important. How can I know if I'm born again? It's really important. The second reason why it might be important to look at this tonight is that perhaps, and I'm sure many of you will have experienced this tonight, okay? Maybe you've had people in your life, maybe people in your church, people whatever, you know, maybe friends of yours, and you thought they were a Christian, and yet they've fallen completely away from the faith. Have you experienced that? I've certainly experienced that. I had two very good friends when I was at school. And, you know, went to church with me. We went to some amazing events together. You know, they showed every outward sign of being a Christian. And yet now, they're nowhere. They have been nowhere for years now. Not anywhere near a church. And so we might think to ourselves, if they've fallen away, maybe I could fall away too. And maybe that worries us. Maybe it concerns us. So let's think about some of these things tonight. And let's think about, you know, how can I truly know that I've been born again? How can I know that my faith is genuine? How can I have that assurance deep inside? Okay, how can I hold to the promises of God? Now, first things first tonight, how can we know that our faith is genuine? We read tonight just some verses from Matthew chapter 7. And we will know that verse where Jesus says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of God. We know that verse, don't we? In other words, there will be those who look on the outside like they're converted, but actually they're not converted. Not converted at all. They're not a Christian at all. And the reality is that those who God has called, those who God has chosen, they will never fall away. And that's what I want to assure you with tonight. Those who God has called, those who God has regenerated, those who God has worked on inside, if he has called, they will never fall away. That's what I want to assure you of tonight. If you're genuinely called, if God has worked in your life, if you're born again, you can't be unborn again. They'll never fall away. You will never fall away. R.T. Kendall once wrote a book, Once Saved, Always Saved. I believe that with all my heart. Once saved, always saved. If you are saved, you're always saved. In John's Gospel, John chapter 10, Jesus says, I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. No one. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. In Philippians, you'll know this verse from chapter 1. He who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. So I want to assure you tonight, if you're a Christian, then God holds you. You cannot be snatched out of his hand if you're born again. But you might still be asking the question tonight, how can I truly know? How can I truly know that I am saved? How do I really know this? In other words, what gives us assurance? And I want to just look at three things tonight, okay, that will assure us in the inside that we really are a Christian, okay? Three things. The first thing I want to think about, okay, and the question to ask yourself is, do I have a present trust in Christ for salvation? Do I have a present trust? Not a past one, not a future one. Don't know how that would work, really. But a present one. Do I have a present trust in Christ? The most famous verse in the Bible that we read tonight, John 3:16. How does it go? Pretty good, okay? Whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Now, that verse could also be translated in the present tense verb, okay? Wow, grammar on a Sunday night. And it could be translated, whoever continues believing in him will never perish and have eternal life. And therefore, we have to ask ourselves, do I today have trust in Christ to forgive my sin? Do I have confidence in my heart that he has saved me? And so the question to ask is, if I were to die tonight and stand before God's judgment seat, and if he were to ask me why he should let me into heaven, what would I think of? Would I think of my good deeds? Would I say, you know, well, you know, I've done all these good things. You know, I've got a good sense of humor. I'm good looking. You know, those things, is that what you would say? I know that's a fantasy for some of us. Yes, I get that. Or would we without hesitation say, I depend on Jesus. I am confident that he is a sufficient savior. And I place all my sin upon him because he has taken all my sin. And I know forgiveness in sight. Is that what we think about? And what I want to say to you tonight is your faith has to be a present faith. But if you're here tonight and you say, I do trust Jesus, that your salvation is secure, that God is there. You see, our faith needs to be a present faith. Sometimes even in the church here, we share testimonies together, and that's a good thing. It's an encouraging thing. It's good to hear stories of how God is at work in our lives. But if you think about it, sometimes testimonies can come across, and it can come across as a story that happened 20 or 30 years ago. Okay? Well, not for me, because I'm not that old. Okay? But what I want to say to you is that we need to have a testimony of a faith that is active to this very day. It's not something that stops. You know, I'm converted, that's me. I can just lie back. That's it, done. This is something that is continuous. It happens till now. And when we know that it happens till now, because it's a present faith, we know deep inside that our salvation is secure. Isn't it? Just as a wee aside here. Because I want to say to you, we can start over every single day. Every single day. You see, we all go through experiences, don't we, where we do rubbish things. We do terrible things. We think thoughts that are not worthy of God. We do things that we're ashamed of. But the brilliant thing is, the very next day, we say, Lord God, I place my sin upon Jesus, past, present, and future. And I know my salvation is secure in him. Therefore, every single day, we can be assured that God is with us and our salvation is secure. So that's the first thing. Our faith has to be a present faith. And if you can say with all your heart tonight, I trust in Jesus for my salvation, then you know that your faith is genuine. The second thing I want to think about tonight, is there evidence of regenerating work of the Holy Spirit in my heart? Is there work of that? In other words, is there the fruit of the Spirit? Am I changing? Okay? Am I the same person I was 30 years ago when I was converted? Or 20 years ago? Or 10 years ago? Or 5 years ago? Or whenever it was? Or have I changed? Now, it might have been a slow change, because some of us are slow in the uptake. Okay, sometimes that sanctifying work takes time. Yes, we might lapse at times, but am I getting more holy? Okay? I'm sure you'll have all seen these graphs. They've been on the news this week of the stock exchange. I have no idea how the stock exchange works. Okay? Things go up and down. So you see the stock exchange going up and down. Okay? And sometimes it goes right down and sometimes it goes right up. But your hope is, you know, if you've got shares and stocks, that, you know, eventually, with the ups and the downs, it's going on an upward trajectory. That's what you're hoping for. And that's what should happen in the Christian life. Yes, you might have your dips, but it's an upward trajectory. You are getting more holy. You're getting more Christ-like in your attitudes and who you are. Yes, you might be more holy. And a good test for this is, do other people notice? Do other people notice that change? Do they notice any difference? Because actually, it's when people see that change that you know that the Holy Spirit is working in your heart. It's manifested in how you live your life. And so you know you're genuinely born again when that is manifested in your life. We will be known by our fruits. Is that not what it said in Matthew chapter 7? You know, bad fruit comes from a bad tree. Good fruit comes from a good tree. All makes sense, doesn't it? And if you're bearing good fruit, you must be from a good tree. You see, that's the way it works. So if you're manifesting that in your life, if your life is changing and people notice it, it's not just about you, oh, I'm getting much more holy. You know, that's not what it's about. It's about, do people notice a difference? It's made a difference in your life. Or are you just living out your life just the same way you were before? If there's change, then that's assurance in sight that God is at work and that we're truly saved. The third thing I just want to think about just briefly as we come to a conclusion tonight is, do I see long-term growth in my Christian life? Do I see long-term growth? We spoke at the beginning about doubt in terms of salvation. Okay? But as you mature in your faith, I want to suggest to you that assurance grows. And you get a greater and greater assurance that you are a Christian, that all this is real, that what Jesus has done for you is real. I was converted on a football pitch at the age of 11. Scored a brilliant goal, realised that wasn't what life was about, and really, I need to think about this Jesus stuff that I was learning about at church. And I remember being at home that night, and I decided I was going to ask Jesus into my heart, whatever that meant, whatever it meant to an 11-year-old boy. I thought I would do it. I was going to do it. And so that's what I did. And there was no blinding light. Nothing amazing happened. And 2 weeks later, I had to do it again. I thought, oh, maybe God hasn't heard. You know, maybe I've just been mistaken by all this. I had to do it again. When you're early in the faith, sometimes those doubts come. Is this real? The devil gets in there. You know, is it, you know, that stuff about Jesus not real, you know? And look at you, you're a terrible sinner. Rather than us looking at the Savior. I want to say to you, when you mature in the faith, when you grow in the faith, those years and years of experience, of seeing God at work, of knowing that God is there, gives you that desire inside and gives you that assurance inside that God is real, that your salvation is real. You see, when I was 11 years old, I'd asked Christ into my life twice. Do I doubt my faith so much now? Not so much. Why is that? Because you've got the experience of years. You've grown in your faith. And I'm sure that will be many people's experience here tonight. You see, everyone who gains assurance through self-examination, and that's what this is about tonight, should think, I am truly born again. Therefore, I will persevere to the end because I'm being guarded by God's power working through my faith. And therefore, I will never be lost. And that's what I want to assure you of tonight. If you're a Christian here tonight, if you're born again, you can never lose your salvation. God holds you firm and secure. Yes, there might be times when we backslide, Yes, there might be times when we fall away, but if you're truly converted, God holds you. You cannot lose your salvation. But the challenge for us tonight is this. Where are you in your faith? Where are you? If you're found in Christ, if you're born again, then you're growing. You're showing spiritual fruit, and you will be saved. You are a Christian. That's the assurance. Christ has paid it all, and your heart leaps with that fact that Christ has paid it all. But if you're here tonight and you're not a Christian, if you realize that you're riding in your faith of 20 years ago, that you're not changing in character or you're growing, either you're backsliding or you've never been a Christian at all, that's what I want to say to you tonight. And I want to say to you, come to Christ, put your faith in him, and know his salvation. Now, sometimes, if I'm honest, because sometimes the impression is given, you know, just believe and be saved. And, you know, that differs in the different traditions, okay? Big Catholic thing, you know, be baptized, therefore you'll be saved, okay? But in other church traditions, it can be the same as well. Just believe and be saved, and that's it. And if someone leaves the fellowship of the church and lives a life that's no different to how they lived before, they think they're a Christian. What a load of nonsense. No, they're not. You see how shocking it must have been to those who Jesus talked about who said, Lord, Lord. And yet what does Jesus say to them? I never knew you. I never knew you. That's a scary thing. I never knew you. Some of them had even manifested miracles, cast out demons, but they weren't Christians. That's quite a thought, isn't it? And we must always be aware of that. We must be aware of fault. Jesus says, come. Come to me, all who are thirsty, and I will give life. Come to me. Come, be born again. Come and know the joy of salvation. You see, I don't understand if someone comes to faith and then they leave the church and they live their life just the way they were before. What are they missing out on? If you're a Christian, you want to be part of the church. You want to be together with other believers. You want to sing, you know, God's praise. You want to gather around his word because that there is that change inside. He changes your desires. Come to me, all who are thirsty, and I will give them life, life in all its fullness. How do you know you're a Christian here tonight? Are you bearing fruit? Is your faith present? Have you got that assurance from years and years of growth? Be assured. But also there's an encouragement tonight. If you're not a Christian here, put your faith in Jesus. And for family members, for friends, for those we've known who have been in the church years ago and yet no longer are. Either they're backsliding in a major way, they've never been a Christian. We need to pray for them. We need to get on our knees and pray and pray and pray and pray that God would open up their hearts and he would speak into their lives. Just want to read a few verses just from 1 Peter, just as we close tonight. Just some words from 1 Peter chapter 1. It says this, Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil or fade by God's power until the coming of salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. Amen. Shall we just pray? Let's pray. Father, we recognize in our lives that sometimes we have doubts. We have doubts in the Christian life. We have doubts in our prayer life and whether, Lord God, you're speaking to us. Sometimes, Lord God, in those times, the kind of dark night of the soul, sometimes we can even doubt our salvation. We can doubt, Lord God, if you're even there. And yet, Lord God, we thank you that when we are manifesting the fruit of the Spirit, when our faith is a present faith and we're found trusting in Jesus, when we are growing in our faith, growing in maturity, and that's seen not just by ourselves but by others around us, that we can be assured that our faith is real and therefore we must come from a good tree. Lord God, we pray for each one of us tonight, especially if we are struggling with doubt, that we might know if we're truly born again that our salvation will never be taken away from us but is held firm and secure in your hands. But Father, if we come before you tonight and we recognize our faith is not a present faith, but we're living in the past, if we recognize that we're not really manifesting the fruit of the Spirit, but we're just living out our life in a way that we did before, Lord God, we ask that you would minister to us and that in your grace you would draw us to yourself and that we might know our salvation is found in Christ and in Christ alone. And Father, we do pray for family members, for friends, for those who were in the church perhaps years ago or recently and yet have somehow backslidden or perhaps were never converted at all. Father, we pray for them and we pray, Lord God, that they enter the kingdom. We thank you for the invitation that you give to us to come, all who are thirsty to come. And Father, we pray in our community here in West Kilbride that you would stir up a thirst to come to you, Lord God, a thirst to come into the kingdom, and that you would bring to salvation all those who are yours. So Father, speak to us through your word tonight, we pray, for we pray these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Okay, let's sing as we close our service tonight.